friends, welcome to the Stationery Cafe, your podcast for everything stationery, journaling, planning related, and fun things happening in the community. I'm April from Penguins Creative, and today we're doing something really special because we have both co-hosts of the Stationery Cafe here with me. We have Phyllis from Missling Bloom and Kelly from Kelly Love Letters. Hi, guys.
Hey. Yay. Hello, so excited for this episode. It's like a highly anticipated one.
We've been like thinking about this topic for 4 months now, like 3 months, maybe even longer. I mean, Kelly, weren't the other day we were just saying we're thinking about 2022 planners?
Yeah, I'm already there. You've got to plan ahead.
So this episode's going to be super fun because we will be talking about our Techo Kaigi, the biggest event of the year in our stationery life each year, I think.
Right? And what does Techo Kaigi mean? What does that mean?
So Techo Kaigi, actually, Kelly, you introduced me to this word because you were in Japan and you were like saying you do Techo Kaigi, and it was like a few years ago. And so Techo Kaigi directly translates from Japanese to be planner and then meeting. Like Techo is planner, journal, notebook in Japan. They're kind of like a catch-all, all-in-one. Mm-hmm. And Kaigi means to meet or the act of a meeting to discuss things. So this is what Japanese people do, I think, around this time. They hold a Techo Kaigi with themselves at their desk, and they just go over their lineup and like think about what notebook they want to use, like what planner they plan to do for what purpose, and then just kind of make sense of the stationery purchase that they've kind of accumulated up to this point. Yeah. And I think it's like pretty relevant and important, and I think we should do it together, the three of us, because we're kind of like, we all have our different little system and plan so far, but we never really pinned it down. So this is like, it's time. It's time to do it.
Totally.
I can't wait to hear what you guys have, because I've been planning and I have like changed it like probably 7 to 8 times.
Yeah. Well, I think this concept of a Techo Kaigi is so cool because it totally encapsulates that feeling I have where that desire to like arrange my next year ahead of time, and the feelings of kind of like chaos, but also what I wish went differently this year and what new things I want to try. And I think the concept of the Techo Kaigi lets me put all of that onto paper, and it's like a hopeful or an optimistic act, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel.
Nice ritual to be retrospective, introspective, and future. Mm-hmm.
Prospective. Yes. Prospective. Yeah. Look at that. That's your quote for this meeting. Okay. For this.
I know. And you said you lose sleep over it. Like, right? You would like wake up in the middle of the night just like thinking about, what am I doing with my like floor year? Or like notebook.
I think for me, my Techo Kaigi was like the antidote to planner angst, you know, because I get a lot of planner angst, and the Techo Kaigi helps me sort it out. So what I ended up doing was, you know, every time I had this like urge to write down, oh, I have too many systems, I need to clear something out of my brain, I just write. And so I had probably like 4 or 5 different drafts. Sometimes I would just write it out. Sometimes I'd be like, okay, what areas do I feel like I want to journal or plan in? And then what notebooks do I have? And then I might draw lines to be like, okay, well, I'll use this for this and this for this. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I might sketch out each book just for fun as a little visual reminder. And then I can go back and look at it maybe the next day. Maybe I have another idea in a couple weeks. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to get back into my health tracking. And then I'll go and, you know, re-edit it. And then ultimately, once I kind of sat on it for a few weeks and edited it, I ended up coming up with this kind of like watercolor visual schematic of my journal. And I think it's not exactly, I don't think any of us have like a minimalist system. I think all three of us have an overabundance of notebooks, but like we've said before, it's part of that paper play that we enjoy. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think the making the visual tetchokaigi for me in the end, the little schematic, helped me see like, this is my journaling hobby in a visual form. Nice. And I'll share that on the Instagram too.
I know
you. I was gonna say I really want to say I want to see that.
you use watercolor, right? Like to paint out little blocks, and it looks like a little map, and it's pretty cool. I'm like, wow, this looks like a diagram that's like kind of significant, or like.
It's so great.
Love it. Wait, so your drafts, have they all been in Traverse Notebook, or were there like? In the same book or scattered across different books when you were?
They're all in my traveler's notebook. I just keep them in, like, you know, I have a personal journal traveler's notebook. I just keep it all in there.
Right.
That nice. Way it's easy to come back and reference.
Nice. So also disclaimer, like when we were talking about tetchokaigi, we're not specifically talking about just the planner, and like the books we talk about are right. not just data planners. Like it actually includes like other sorts of journaling and writing and analog. So like, for example, undated system, for example, or a clean bullet journal, or just like the random traveler's notebook insert that we do for different purposes. Because techo in Japanese is a very general word for a book. Like it's a book for your hand to write in, and like it doesn't specifically say it's a scheduler or a planner. So that's why we're really excited to talk more about tetchokaigi, because it allows us to include so many different systems.
Yes.
So that was Phyllis. And Kelly, yes. What about you? Please share your tetchokaigi routine.
Well, I wanted to show you one example here. We can put a photo of this in the Instagram as well. I like to, like Phyllis said, I like to draw out little tiny sketches of like what the notebook looks like, and then, you know, write what it is, and then write what I use it for underneath that. And it just lets it compartmentalize it. And like how Phyllis was just saying, it's like writing it out physically is kind of part of the whole process, and like, you know, figuring out your own brain.
Yes.
So I like to do that probably several times a year. like, I don't know how many times I've done it this. I feel like I've done it more because we were talking about this episode, and I was like, oh, I have to make sure that I have the right setup. And,
and especially like after the Hobonichi unboxing, you immediately like draw out all your little covers.
Yes, specifically I did do that.
The dedication to drawing out the Rama one is just impressive. Oh,
I forgot I did that. Yeah. Yeah, it's usually not that detailed, but that when I was with April, I kind of felt like going ham.
I love it. And I remember I used to do the drawing, the little doodle, and then like write about it in the next page. And a lot of people do that too, right? I yeah, do like totally. That. You know, it's kind of like putting it all out there in the minimal way, like in the mini me journal way. And then, okay, now let's start shuffling it around. And
I've actually seen some people online actually print out images or photos of their notebooks. And then they kind of, then it's almost like ephemera that you then put yes. into your journal. And then you draw out your tetchokaigi that way with your photos so in there.
Ooh, like how about like, you know, in fashion, they do the vision board. And
yes,
then so like,
exactly.
And you can like cut out the fabric or like the pattern mm-hmm. of your travel or of the Hobonichi that you got, and like the Minamo. And then like, okay, this picture of the wild is what I want to embody.
Maybe like a paper sample. Oh yeah. Like for people who are like, oh my God, the new TRP versus the old TRP. Oh, maybe you have a side by side, you put it into your tetchokaigi.
Oh my God. We should do something like that. A challenge. The 2021 tetchokaigi vision board. That's a long hashtag.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Plan for next year.
I love it. Well, for me, I've also been doing this for a long time. And actually, I think my first edition, like Phyllis, I did many drafts. But unlike her, I don't keep them all in one place. So I actually don't remember where my first draft was, but probably one of my like 15 notebooks. But I think my first one was in like September or even August. And that was like first edition. And that was when I did my video of like, oh, 7 planners I'm using this year. How's it been going? And then that's when I was realizing, okay, this worked for me. I want to continue it next year. So it's a combo of like what worked and then new thing that came out each month as the year progressed and my lineup gets longer. And so finally, like before this meetup, I really had to like sit down and really like look at my purchases and be like, okay, April, you have to stop and like, what are you really using and what are you using them for? And so I conceived this methodology to approach my planner because I'm like, you know, even though we use like over 7 planners each or journals or notebooks each, mm-hmm. there's always like that most important one. And then there's always those that's like, you use it frequently, like maybe once a week or even like 2 to 3 times a month, or you cycle them in and out. So I compared my planner system to the Maslow hierarchy of needs, which I'll go into later. So I have like top tier, I start from the top instead of from the bottom, like self-actualization tier, which journal fits in that category. All right, next tier, self-esteem, which journal and planner goes into that. And then like down to the psychological need, what I call the area of responsibility. And then like finally, like the basic needs and like, you know, the other little things that I can like switch in and out. So it's been a very fun experiment. It started with like a triangle I drew on a piece of paper. I'm like, the king sits up here, and then like the little peasants stay down in the lower tier. So I'm excited to break that down and like share with you guys in a bit, but like let's dive right into it, right? Like where mm-hmm. I think what's going to happen next is for the rest of this episode, we are each going to break down to you. Maybe we talked about it in happy hour or in previous episodes, but I think this is it. Like this is hopefully the final lineup for both Phyllis, Kelly, and I, and you know, you can take it with a pinch of salt and like mm-hmm. think about whether your system is too little or too much in comparison to ours. And you know, it's always fun to just talk about how we use our stuff. So
yeah, definitely. I hope that when people are listening, they can, you know, pick and choose, like, you know, if you're looking for ideas on what's a, you know, a daily journaling habit or a health habit, maybe they can, yes. you know, this is like think of this as a menu of like 21, 30, 35, 40 options. I don't know how many we have.
I love that.
A catalog great. Of what journaling you can do. Exactly. The purchases and stuff.
Exactly. Well, okay.
Totally.
So let me share what I'm doing for 2021. And I will preface this with, I have started to incorporate a couple of my 2021 elements just to test it out right now too. So I think it's been working well. So I kind of break mine down into 2 separate themes. One, my first theme is my daily journaling habit. And so the stuff that I have under this category, like I need it to be really simple, straightforward, basic, something that like there's no barriers to me being able to journal every day. Because I know that journaling and planning every day does really help with my mood and like is really good for just my general self-care. But sometimes I get overwhelmed and I feel like, oh, I just don't even want to be super creative. And so then I tell myself I don't want to journal. But really, that's why my daily habit, I'm trying to eliminate all of that. It's not about what it looks like. It's just about getting it done. So
yes. Exactly. Removing a barrier to actually doing it.
Exactly. So super simple. I have 3 things that I use. So one is my daily scheduler, like my true planner. This is, I use a 6-ring pocket planner. It was like a PVC clear one that I bought on Amazon for like $6 or something. and it's my catch-all. It has a bunch of work documents in there that I like print small and fold up. And then for the actual planning portion, I'm using a Midori brand week on one page with a memo sheet on the opposite side. And what I do is I actually extend the weekly lines all the way onto the memo side. So it becomes like a gigantic, you could turn it on its side. It becomes a gigantic vertical
column.
Vertical column. And then I can use that to, it gives me plenty of space to write down all my meetings and to-dos and still also be very compact to fit in the pocket size.
Oh, is that the really decorative one that I got for you from Amazon Japan?
Yes, it's like really colorful. I'm excited because almost every page or every month has a new theme and a new design. So it'll be really nice to play around with.
Nice. I like that you're using a very busy one for work.
Yes. I've decided, you know, like sometimes I'm like, oh, should I be more professional for work? But, you know, I'm just going to have fun with it.
You're the cool doctor.
Yeah.
I do have a question about the, like, since it's a pocket planner and you said you could like flip it so it could be vertical, like, do you write vertically or is it like a horizontal or?
So I'm writing, let's see, how do I describe this? So when you look at it, the way it's supposed to be looked at, it looks like a big horizontal row, but then I turn it on its side and then they become vertical columns and I just write like oriented like that. So I orient it to turned on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Innovation.
Yes. And I have tried vertical pocket inserts that are just oriented like the way that you're supposed to, but it's not long enough for me. Mm-hmm. I need more length in my day. So
nice.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's the basic planner thing. No decorations, just like reference and stuff. The next thing is I have my daily log or like daily record where I just write down what happened that day. Mm-hmm. And that one I'm using in my Fleur Lab A6 notebook. I mean, that one you don't even need to, it's so beautiful on its own and it like, it lends itself to minimalism because it's so beautiful. So I just, and the A6 size is perfect for just writing down like a few sentences about what happened that day. So I'm using it for that.
You're already using it right now, right? Like you're using the October 2020 pages.
I forgot to confess. Yes. When I first started using Hobonichi back in like 2016, I actually had this habit of, I start on my birthday in mid-October and because, you know, I buy it in the release in September and then I could use it in October. So the October, November, and December pages are the previous, are used, like, I use the end pages.
Well, hey, April did that. April's done that a few times herself.
I did that a few times for the
But December. You caught up, right? Or you're on the schedule now?
I did adjust it and, like, tune it to a regular day now. Like, but, like, I did do that for, like, 3 years in a row. It's always confusing when people were like, day, and I skip days too because I messed up the dates and the day, you know? So I usually would advise people against it, but like if it works for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think one way that I'm going to get around making it less confusing is eventually I'll probably put tabs on the side, you know, monthly tabs, and I'll just start my top as October, November, December, and then January. That way it looks visually, you can tell it started in October.
Right. Yeah.
That's good.
But yeah, that one's super basic, really straightforward. And then lastly, I'm going to use a Hobonichi Weeks for health tracking. Inspired by your video, April.
Hi. Yes.
Enabled.
Yes.
Well, again, we were all very surprised when Phyllis, you made that stealth order of the Hobonichi Weeks without all of us knowing. And then like our packages were sitting in custom for a week and you're like, oh guys, I got my weeks.
Thank you, Yoseka Stationery.
In our face.
I was like, oh guys, look. dots on it. You're like, wait, my stuff's not here yet.
I love it. So you're using as health tracking.
Like, yeah. I'm inspired by yours. I probably won't put quite as much detail into mine because yours is like, wow, just so much information and like capturing so much data. But I think I probably will just do like, you know, maybe like a what I ate, exercise plan, and then like a little mood reflection. So right.
Mm-hmm. Especially since you run, I feel like that would be a good like fitness exercise tracker in like your progress when you train for like a marathon or something like that.
Totally. I think the monthly pages will be really good to write out like what my workout is supposed to be for each day. And then in my, on the weekly pages, then I can actually write out like, did I do it or not?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So that's my day. Those are my dailies. Those three really simple, should not take more than like, you know, 15 minutes a day, 10, 15 minutes a day. Super straightforward.
Yeah.
And then the rest of my, journals are all just kind of, they're all journals. They're not planners. So, as you know, I love regular size traveler's notebooks. So I have three different ones that I'm using. So I have my Kyoto Traveler's Notebook, which holds my daily journal, just super basic, like write down whatever, paste whatever I want. And then I have a Black Traveler's Notebook. That was the first one I ever had. And that one holds my family scrapbook. And I've started using Studio Calico inserts. They're really fun ones
you bought, right?
Yeah. Yes. They're really fun and they have like pre-made backgrounds, and it again makes family scrapbooking really easy because I don't decorate a page. I just print out photos and add some stickers and stuff. So it's really easy.
Is that a printable situation, or is it a, you could just buy it from them?
You can just buy it. I think they run around like $8 to $14 depending on the type, but they often have them on sale. And I know there's other companies out there that offer printable versions. Like I think Kelly Perky Shop also has printable inserts that you can just print out and make yourself.
Nice.
And I know a lot of people from who are on the Everyday Explorers creative team like using the Studio Calico inserts and adding stamping and stamped backgrounds to it.
Nice.
Yeah. So then my other traveler's notebook is my Tokyo Station traveler's notebook. That one is just for fun. It's like collage, paper stuff. It gets bulky because of like, you know, you add a lot of elements.
The layering.
Exactly. So it's nice to have that in a separate or a separate notebook so it can get puffy on its own.
I like that.
And then lastly, I still have my Chinese practice diary, which is in my Yohand A5 right now.
Right.
But I do have a Mr. Eggplants and a kind of cafe. Is it a kind of cafe?
No, it's Thinking of You.
It's Thinking of You. Whoops. Thinking of You. The tapes were a kind of cafe. The planner is Thinking of You.
Did you like come into my brain? Cause like, I feel like you're stealing my idea. This is what I was thinking this year.
But I'm not surprised we're on the same wavelength because that journal is a unique layout that I've never seen before. And it's so conducive to that, like, casual, relaxed Taiwanese journaling style.
A few sentences here and there. And I was so inspired by your Yohan Diary initiative this year and like how you kept up with it and like how you really enjoyed decorating it. And my plan was to do it in a take a note and it didn't last long. And so I was like, awesome, next year I'm doing a whole week across the spread. I'm not breaking it up to like a daily thing anymore. And so I plan to use my Thinking of You, Mr. Eggplant collaboration in that way too.
Well, because I mean, it turns out because I have to practice, my Chinese is bad enough where I have to look up every sentence I want to write and it just takes so long. I mean, it's not like that long, but it just takes a long time to like look it up and then write it down, that it's just easier when you only have 1 week per two pages.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So, but yes, the Johann diary is undated, so I can just stop it whenever I want to, switch to the Mr. Eggplants one, and then go back to the Johann whenever I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the final one is my Passport TN, which is just like a little sketchbook, and I'm thinking I have some free time this month. I might just use it for nature diary stuff, and I could use it in 2021 as like daily art observations. So that's it.
And then the passport size, remember how we talked about how you can like take it on the go, like your hiking journal, your kind of like stuff. And you didn't mention which book you're putting your daily journal on, the Traverse Notebook. It's your new highly anticipated Kyoto edition, right? Like,
oh yes, yeah. My daily journal, yes, is in the Kyoto journal.
Yes.
And I'm actually inspired by Anna from Girl and Quill. She numbers all of her journals. Uh-huh. And so I've decided, starting with this one, I'm starting to number them too, as nice. Like a, here's my personal diary kind of thing.
I know, I love her awesome. Numbering system. She has her baby girl on like book number 5 already, even though it's so like cool. Her documenting it for her. But like, it's amazing. And I think it's a great way to think about how much insert has hold your life. Like,
yeah,
number, whatever. I wanted to do it too, but I have too many books that are all going at the same time. So I might have to name them like 3-1, 3-2, 3-3.
It's like a magazine subscription.
special volume or anything like that.
Okay, well, awesome. Enough about my 2021. I want to hear about Kelly's.
Okay, so here we go. I think my problem with doing Techo Kaigis was I was really inspired by April's, and I was trying to make it just like hers. And then like yesterday, I was like, I have different, my brain is doing a different categorization thing. So my first category is the daily, which I think we all have some of those. So I've got a stack of 3 for daily, which is my Hobonichi Weeks, which this year is going to be the Ranma 1/2.
Yes.
The really weird one with the like hollow plastic cover thing.
Yeah, that changes the image as you hold it to different angles.
You see it, Phyllis? Yeah.
Well, that's super cool and reminds me of my childhood.
Right? Like. So that, I had to. So I've consecutively been using, I think this is my 5th weeks, but it's the 3rd year of doing it how I've been doing it, which is like the main weeks is just my daily schedule, appointments, whatever, when I'm working. And then the grid pages in the back are where I track everything I spend every single day. And it's going to be my 3rd year of doing that. And I have color coded it. And it's like, I show it to people at like customers at work sometimes. And they're like, oh, that's too much. And I'm like, or people say, why don't you just use Mint or like a spreadsheet? I'm like, no, I really, it brings me joy to track my finances that way. And it actually, like, I know where all my money goes. And when I look at my stationery spending lately, I'm like, oh my God. So that's the main like ride or die Hobonichi weeks.
Love it.
And then my 5-year Techo, which I bought for, it's 2020 through 2024. So I've actually been diligent. I've been writing in it every day. And it looks really cool. I've put like 1 washi tape in there
because you don't want to bulk it up, right?
Right. Like. it's gonna be crazy, so I have to minimize the decor. But I use a fountain pen in it every day, and it looks really cool. I was noticing as I was flipping through it that I actually, because I was like, I'm gonna use this one pen for 5 years. It's gonna be the thing. And it was like the same ink for a whole month. And then the next month it's like every day is a different color.
Like I forgot.
Yeah, like I can't be tied down like this.
That's so cool though, you can see that progression of like and then like a reaction to it.
Yeah, and I was, when I first got it, I was intending to use it for like kind of like witchy slash tarot slash I don't really know.
I feel like but that's the starting point of all your notebooks.
I know.
Like every new notebook you get, you say, oh, I'm gonna use it for my tarot witchy.
You're so right though. It's turned into basically like a daily, like what Phyllis was saying, what happened today. But if I feel like nothing really happened, sometimes it's like a current events, or like it's just kind of the most important thing about the day.
Right.
Or I'll say my favorite dog customer came in today.
Those are the happy. Best things to write about.
And then, like Phyllis, I was also inspired by April with my my third daily, which is the A6. I have it in the Ranma A6 cover, but it's actually in the undated Muji weekly planner. So it's like the week on the left page and the memo on the right page. And I do like the food diary, and then I do the body talks and emotional thoughts that April does, because it's really cool to look back and be like, oh, that's when I had a sore throat, I got a COVID test because I freaked out and I'm fine.
I know. And it's, you separate the physical and like the emotional, because sometimes they can feel like they're the same thing, but it's really not.
Definitely. And like sometimes I don't fill out the food diary, but I've decided to not like beat myself up about it, because like, you know, sometimes you just don't and it's fine and you can just move on and keep doing it.
You can only track so much, you know, so often.
My confession is that my weeks that I used to track health, like my, I always start out strong in the beginning of the week where I do it like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I have a giant blank space because the weekend just gets away from me and I don't track what I ate. And sometimes it's because I probably eat out too much, so I don't want to track that down.
Exactly.
So I would come back to it on Monday and be like, let's just slap a sticker on this space and just call it a week.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it also has a monthly section. So I write down all the steps, since I have an Apple Watch. And then I have like a little dot color coding system. I guess you can't see it from like if I went on a walk or like hike that day, if I did yoga. And then last month I was tracking if I got coffee to go. And then I'm like, why did I track that?
It's like, it should be days you did not have coffee.
I know.
But so that's, I really enjoy that. Those are my three daily guys.
Dailies. Interesting. We have very similar daily structure, right? Yeah. Because there's like a schedule, a daily log, and health. And I feel like that's probably a common theme for a lot of people in the journaling world. Like, those are three very common things that we all feel like we want to record.
Totally. And it's like most people, like some people want it all in one place. Mm-hmm. And some of us have like too much to write about, so we have to break them out into different ones. Yeah. So you can be on any side of the spectrum, but that's definitely generally what people want to track or write about the most.
Yeah. So then my next section is journaling, which is kind of intense. But I have my MD diary, one day, one page, that I've definitely started using for 2021, because even though it does have the monthly calendar, the entire rest of it is undated.
Yeah.
And it's one I've been looking at for, you know, several years, and I just never bought, and it was at Oblation and I was like, ooh, no one's bought it, I'm gonna buy it.
What size did you get?
I got A6.
And it's that's the one I had before. I love it.
Yeah.
And it fits into the zip cover, right? Yes. Of the Hobonichi.
And it's so satisfying because like I have this date stamp that fits perfectly.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, both Phyllis and I were just like, wow, full pages of writing. That's amazing.
With a really minimalist date stamp on top. I love it.
That's so unlike you.
So it's basically like my raw journaling where I can let all the emotions out. And for whatever reason, I wanted to write recipes in here too. And I'm like, that makes no sense. So I'm going to just not do that.
I love it. It's like a little melting pot of whatever.
But I wrote a cauliflower rice recipe, like the first thing. And then the rest of it's just like, here's all my emotions. Oh, but you know, it. I can move recipes into my A5 this year, which is my, I have it in the Time Traveling Bird cover. It's the Wonderland 222 Tomoe River notebook that April gave me for my birthday. And wow. I'm using it in place of the Hobonichi Cousin. And this is the one I'm kind of struggling with, like, what's really its purpose. but I really like tracking weather. So I wrote out a year calendar, and then I'm going to color in. I have this whole system where I use like a rainbow of mild liners to track like 60 to 69 degrees is like this color. And, you know,
beautiful at the end of the year, right? Like just like a spectrum of like the weather changes throughout the year.
Yeah, and it's just kind of cool. And I can always fill those out. Like I don't have to do them all as they happen because, you know, the internet exists and it tells you. So you can go back and fill it in.
It has the feel of a bullet journal almost.
I was about to say. But with better paper, because it's Tomoe River paper, and you get to use your fountain pen on it instead of, you know, those super thick 160 GSM. We'll talk about that later, right?
But I mean, so basically, I want it to, in my cousin right now, I like to paste a bunch of ephemera in and just kind of do whatever in there. So I guess I'll just do that in this one. With possibly recipes thrown in there.
Nice.
And then, so my last one that was completely not something I was meaning to have was my second week's, which I'm pretty sure in a happy hour I said I won't buy a second week's, and then I did. but I've started using this one already because it's kind of a commonplace book. Like, if I'm sitting somewhere and I don't have like my normal journal and I just want to like write down in on the go what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, like I've already done lots of fun stuff. And, you know, it's just like I'll put quotes in the back. I'll put notes for the happy hour. I was also writing in this when I was waiting for my COVID test.
So kind of like a back pocket notebook, and it's like the perfect size for it. You just throw it in your bag or literally like in a jacket pocket. And
yeah,
kind of like April had a, like a car notebook idea where it's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Always no, my available. Glove box, I did not use it since I talked about it.
It's the idea, you know, it's the idea that we come up with.
And I feel like people would say, well, why don't you just use your normal weeks for that, but it's because that already has a purpose and the pages allotted for everything, and this is just supplemental.
I like it.
Do you think you would ever consider getting a week's mega and then combining the two, do you think?
So the thing is, I got a week's mega for 2019, and ultimately I like the other covers better.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's so adorable, like yep. How am I supposed to that's the only thing wrong with it, basically.
I know if the week's megas had like better covers, I think they'd be a better contender.
Yeah, I think I would for sure do that again.
And there's just too many cute covers this year. I mean, that is released this year. It's really hard to choose. Like,
I'm kind of worried for the spring, to be honest, the spring release. I'm like, are you going to tempt me, Japan?
The temptress of the rising sun.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so I only have two more. Okay, well, technically, maybe two and a half. So this is the special interest section, which I finally found the perfect witchy tarot notebook of all time. It's the archer in olive with the gilded edges and the kitty cat with the moon on the front. And it's
ultimate witchy tarot.
It's perfect. It's
got black pages. It's just, you know, I feel really awesome when I write in here. Like, I was doing some doodling and stuff, and it just looks really cool.
Do you have a table of contents for this, or do you just kind of write every time you have a new section, you just write in it?
Yes. Because I found table of contents don't do it for me so much.
Okay.
I always get confused, and I've tried to do things like allotting certain pages, like, oh, if I want to write about like moon phases, I'm going to reserve these pages. And it's like, no, I'm just going to go as I go and see what happens.
I like it. Kind of like Joe, he said he doesn't plan out his like bullet journaling. He just like, sometimes you just want to write different things, and who has time to set up everything for like what you need to write in the future, right? So
exactly. So, you know, I do like these, I draw out these little tarot spreads and write my little reflections of the cards. I know Phyllis is kind of like, I don't want to say superstitious, but you don't like like tarot scares you a little bit.
I don't think I would ever get a tarot reading or a palm reading or any of those types of things. I had my star chart read once, but I am a little bit, I work in a scientific field, but at the same time, I'm also just like, I will stay away from knowing what's out there for me.
Right.
I love this idea of like it's almost like, okay, I like read and watch like fantasy and sci-fi books and stuff. It makes me think of like, you know, they have like the Arcanum, like these like dark books and stuff.
Yes, totally.
This is exactly like, it's the right weight. The pages are thick. Your handwriting and your artwork is so beautiful. Like, I just think it's like so nice to look at.
I love how you say that you feel awesome when you're writing it. And I think that's the most important thing. We always need that book where we're like, we're holding this pen and like, we're like, I'm cool. Like, seriously, like this is the best feeling when you are in the zone and really enjoying your journal.
Yes. And it's, it's pretty great. It's working out so far. I did technically have a separate tarot book, but I've decided whatever, it's all going in here. It makes more sense that way. And then the final countdown here is these two guys, which is my Kyoto Traveler's Notebook that I got because Nita is amazing. And then the Nolte Efficiency Techo that April and I got together because she's an enabler and that's what she does.
Thank you. You're welcome.
They're both for the podcast, actually. So I want to do like, in the Nolte Efficiency has the week and then the memo. And I want to do like, you know, happy hour ideas and whatnot in there, and then to get like a more monthly schedule, since the Nolte doesn't really have that, I have a Traveler's Notebook monthly insert, the predated one for 2020, and I bought it halfway through this year from Oblation because like we had some left over, and I'm like, well, someone's got to buy it, so.
No journal left behind.
exactly. So I've just went through and redated the months I didn't use for 2021.
Oh, nice.
I feel like people say like, that's such a pain, but for me it's like therapeutic to date things. It just makes me happy. So technically they're two books, but I'm just counting them as one unit.
Are you putting them in like in each other? I mean, like, are you slotting the Nolte Efficiency somehow into the Traverse Notebook, or?
I kind of wanted to do that, but I don't think it, I don't know, I'm trying to figure that out.
Maybe it needs another trip to the Baumkuchen.
And...
have another.
You're right. It does.
You can always, yeah. You know, on the inner sleeve of the kyoto have like a little folio sort of stuff, and then have that be a section where you can slide the notebook in.
Yeah.
You could also, I have a Travel for Life wallet, and the but it's sized for a Hobonichi week, so the slot is actually just smaller than the full length traveler's notebook. So I feel like it could fit you could slide a back cover or something.
Yeah, those are very good ideas, and I'm taking them to heart.
The only thing, okay, as someone who has tried something like this before, the only thing is that if it bothers you that you can feel density in one portion of your TN, but not on like the top and the bottom, that could be a problem.
I feel like that's why if I just stick it in there and then it's kind of like here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Centered. Yeah. Spoken from the customization queen here, Phyllis. She knows.
I've tried covering, like adding cardboard onto the front and the back of my TN so that I don't feel that gapping, because the gapping is really annoying.
Adding cardboard.
Okay, April's dying right now.
Yeah. We need to talk about April because she has the most books of all.
Yeah, let's move into yours, April.
I know. I'm like hoping at this point listeners are dropping off and they won't like judge me. So that's why I want to go last. But I have a system, and I thought I had a system this year, and I did a few videos about it, and like it's always like, how can you be using all these so many at the same time? And the answer is, I don't use them at the same time. That's why. So I want to break it down and really like highlight like what I said before, the hierarchy of needs, but instead an inverted way where I focus on the top part first. And I think it really makes sense because the top tier of the hierarchy of needs is self-actualization. Things that gives you growth. Things that is kind of outside of your basic needs and gives you much fulfillment, and to me in the stationary lifestyle is the Hobonichi Techo Cousin effect, because I've been doing this for like 5 years. I can't stop now. Like I cannot imagine myself next year and be like, okay, April, no, we're not doing a daily journal anymore. Like that's never gonna be in my like existence, I think. So my Hobonichi Techo Cousin Evag is the one I will proudly and confidently say I write in every single day. Even though sometimes it's not like not every day, it would be like catch up for the previous 2 days, or spend my weekends an extra hour or two catch up on like 5 days of gap from a holiday or something. So, but I try to fill it up by photos, quotes, lyrics, if there's days where I don't have anything to write, but it really stemmed from me wanting to record as much as my life as possible so I don't like waste any moment of it. So, and this habit is hard to have. Like it took me 5 to 6 years. So don't be discouraged if you can't get to that point yet. I'm just too far.
Too far down the rabbit hole. Or
exactly.
Like
there's no turning.
Into it.
There's no turning back right now. So I have to have it. It's
your cornerstone. It's your cornerstone journal.
Yes, it's the cornerstone. It's like, and it's so
like a literal cornerstone. I know.
It's a true brick in this building that's called April. Anyway, so I have the Evex system. So I break it into 2 years. So it's like, you know, I can handle the heft. So, and I have it for since 2014. So, you know, I'm definitely using it next year. It gives me much purpose.
If I was going to summon April, I would put a Hobonichi Cousin Evek in the center of the pentagram.
Yes. And I will like pop up like a genie and be like, hi, what's up? And so, you know, and if anyone wants to kill me, they have to find all of my Hobonichi first. And
a Horcrux.
Yes. That's me.
That's amazing. You're Voldemort and the Hobonichis are your Horcruxes. Got it.
So yeah, that's my Dear Diary journal, creative journaling, whatever you call it. It's basically a snapshot of my life in pages. And then part of, I think this also kind of like, I think the categorization is also like not just self-actualization, but also just on a daily basis, what I would be using most frequently. And one would be the 5-year techo. I got in a year before Kelly, so mine's 2019 to 2023. And I thought I would write in it very diligently in 2019. I did not. So I tried to be more diligent this year. I still couldn't. So I decided to treat it as a milestone journal. Like, even though it's a 5-year techo, I want this to be a place where I can quickly flip through, see which pages I have entries, and know that that day is a big day. So big milestones, achievements, successes, or like significant events. So that's when I like, if a day is extra special, I'll write it in here. And if there's nothing really super significant, I do not stress about not writing in it. So
I like that.
Well, like the highlights, life highlights.
Exactly. Life lights. I like that name. So that's how I plan to use it. I don't know, maybe when I'm like older, like in 2024, when I have to buy a new one, I'd be more disappointed to do the year by year comparison stuff. But yeah, right now I can't keep up with it every day. So I just came to terms that, you know, I will only writing it for the big days. And then the last thing that is really going to be a core part of me, hopefully, because this year I've been talking to so many stationery enthusiasts, and like, you know, I really like have been glimpsing all these like tidbits and like tips, and I really want to be the kind of person who tries to capture as much of these like insights as frequently and as much as I can, not just when I come home from work and like sit at the table. So I enable Kelly to also get with me the Noti Efficiency Notebook, and I've been housing them in my Hobonichi Trifold. Mm-hmm. It fits, it's supposed to fit like an A6 notebook, but the Noti Efficiency Notebooks really nestle quite nicely in there. And I also got like a supplementary notebook, just blank grid to kind of use it with. And so the Noti Efficiency Tetra has the weekly pages with like horizontals and memo pages. So I want to take this with me up and down the stairs, because I live in a townhome. We have 3 floors, and I want to have a place to write things whenever I think about it. Like,
and I'm not gonna just say from being a guest in this house several times that like, if you leave something upstairs, you're gonna regret your life. So I totally understand.
I know. So that's why I want something super light, super slim. Like, I could take this out of this Hobonichi cover and just like put it in my back pocket, throw it into my to-go pouch, have a pen be frequently stuck to it, and then like that will be my butterfly net, like by what Hobonichi founder had described, like a net to capture every random thoughts that's like flying from you. Like, because I read somewhere that, you know, your brain is made to have ideas, not to retain them. So this is my short-term memory catcher. And then, you know, it could be a reference to the Hobonichi Techo that I write in at the end of the day, or a reference to the 5-year journal, which captures my long-term memory, you know, the milestones.
How will you make the decision on whether or not you're going to put something into the memo portion versus in the planner, the efficiency planner portion?
The efficiency planner hopefully will be more time-based. So like, if during the day I'm down in the living room and like we make plans with like my friends or something, it goes into the efficiency techo. If I'm sitting at a cafe, like looking at like this dog, and then I start thinking about my dog, then I'm going to be journaling in the memo page, just like little random notes. So it, or vice versa. But anyway, I think a supplementary notebook will basically be the catch of the spillovers from what does not fit into the little notebook, because these are both tiny notebooks. So I assume it's going to be very easy to overwrite. And so that's a new thing I'm trying to hold myself accountable for this year. And these are the three notebooks that I will truly say I hope to do on a daily basis. And then that's why in the future, if you hear me say I use 15 books, know that I don't use them all at the same time, except for these three. So
yeah, totally.
All right, moving on to the next tier, the esteem tier, like self-esteem, usually derived from your career, your work, projects, and so, you know, what makes you rise up in society, I guess, like you identify with. So that's when I categorize my work planner. So like, I don't think of my work planner as my self-actualization planner, funnily enough, but it's basically projects and, you know, work based. So I have my Noti listy that I use this year. It's basically an A5 slim, and I just use it to track all the tasks I have throughout the day, from the most exciting event planning, from like dinner plans, to the most mundane like laundry, like dishwashing, and things that, you know, just kind of scatter throughout the day that I need to be on top of. And then separate from that would be my work journal, the Noti PDCA, short for Plan, Do, Check, Action. It's a new system I want to try for the new year, because right now it's project-based, based on this giant project called the Stationery Cafe. I have a lot of, you know, appointments, you know, meetings with people, meetings with guests, you know, scheduling posts. A lot that is really like project and I guess align with the goal of growing the Stationery Cafe podcast. So I do want to separate that, like you would do for work and life. Like, you know, I have like the dedicated planner to talk about that, and I want to do it in the PDCA method, the iterative process, to have a better result at each week after week. So website content, brainstorm, you know, who do I talk to, insights from talking with this guest, like tidbits, those all go into the A5 planner that is the Noti PDCA. And for my own personal stuff, I put in the Noti listy, and I actually use the most the monthly calendar. It's like a very, it's just filled to the max each month, because I think of this as my Google calendar, where like it has my own personal plans, meetings, appointments. It also has some of the work meeting appointments if they're important enough, like a recording time, so I make sure I don't double book. I don't write all the things from work in my personal one, only the ones that will interfere with me planning my life's events. So that's,
I see. So the listy kind of like the workhorse. It has the data. And then the PDCA is more kind of like to work through timelines and like hash out priorities and things like that.
Exactly. The PDCA is the process and like, you know, the actual, like, you know, how you go to work 8 hours a day. So that's probably what I'm going to be living with the most. But the Noti listy is going to be like, you know, a general overview of the week, what needs to be done, you know, and then what needs to be balanced. From my life's perspective, like puppy appointments or whatever, that doesn't really need to be jotted down in the work planner. So I have those two as my self-esteem level books. And
so cool. I'm going to be so excited to see how you use the PDCA, because as you know, I use the PDCA for the better part of this last year, but me being me, I didn't use any of the functionality. I use the vertical weekly, and then all the cool boxes and breakdown they have each week, I just use that as like extra note area. I just like scribbled phone numbers and to-do lists and stuff. But
I think it's because of the industry, like the career, your track is very routine and very, I guess there's already a structure in the medical field or in your hospital that allows you to do that. And I feel like I'm treating my project as a startup. So I need to put myself accountable because no one else will. So that's why.
And you can do constant check-ins with yourself this way. Exactly. You can do a lot of reflection and improvement.
It's like one-on-ones with my boss, except my boss is myself. So I need to, I want that weekly meeting to talk about how I can do better next month, week actually. And, you know, those would be little iterations. They could be like, oh, you can wake up like an hour earlier today, or like you can choose to not play Animal Crossing in the middle of the day on Wednesday, you know, those kind of little things. So that's my plan. And then the last little project thing that potentially will fall into other categories, but right now it's still a project, it's we're getting a puppy, and like, you know, the beginning month, I think there's a very structured, like there's timelines, appointments that I need to be on top of. So I did buy the Hobonichi Day Free this year to use as my puppy journal. But then good thing is that it has the monthly calendar, so I can still track appointments. So like, for example, right now I already fill like 5 to 10 pages just writing about like instructions the puppy breeders gave us, and like, you know, what to do, like the shots you have to take them to, like, and like data and stuff. But then I imagine towards the end of the year when he or she's all grown up, it would just be like photos and like collages, kind of like your teddy diary, like, you know, it's gonna be my baby, so I want to record every single moment of his growth.
I love it.
So puppy I'm milestones.
So and then if I stay at your place, I can sleep with the dog.
Oh my god, you totally are gonna be sleeping with the puppy.
I love it.
Yay. And then, okay, moving downwards, another tier is what they call like the psychological tier, right? Like relationships, friends, like things that are constant in your life, and also what I call area of responsibility that I should, it's like they are a constant thing. If there's a to-do list for these things, they happen on your book every single week, because it's just something you have to do every week, because it's a thing you maintain over
like
time.
Self-care.
Exactly. Basically. So I don't want them to be a to-do list on my planner. I want to just like know that they are something I have to maintain on a weekly basis. So that includes the infamous Hobonichi Weeks health planner that a lot of people have started to use. And I'm so happy I can help people out in sorting out their things, because it was what I used to sort out my thing. Like last year, I had to go to the counselor. I had a lot of breakdowns, lots of anxiety around work and life and big changes. And so it really helps me to write about emotional thoughts and what I plan to do about them. And, you know, I think this year more than ever, we're more introspective about, you know, what's going on. Like being mindfulness is becoming a skill set, because, you know, you don't want to always be reacting to horrible things out there, because there's a lot. And then also just tracking the occasional doctor's, dentist appointments, you know, writing about my physical comfort or physical pain. I can't believe there's so much like back aches happening to me. Like, this doesn't happen like a few years ago. So I want to like keep track of that before I really get into like the danger zone where like, why did I end up here? You know, like that's the worst thing you want to come to realization with. And then the next thing is the Fleur Lab. Like, I think you're using it, Phyllis, you're using it as a daily log. I'm going to use it as a mindfulness planner or a mindfulness journal. It's going to be a journal. And I'm not going to write in it every day. I want to build the habit of mindfulness, which is kind of meditation, thinking about your thoughts, like being able to deal with anxiety and struggles in a bigger canvas. But I'm giving myself my own tip to beginners in this world. Like I always tell them, if you want to build a daily habit, don't give yourself the goal of writing every day. Start by 3 times a week. And like, if you can do that for like a few months, then up the frequency 4 times a week, 5 times a week. And then like, hopefully in a year, you'll be able to have a good, like, you know, frequency going. So my very simple goal is to just write in my Fleur Lab planner journal 3 times a week. So that means 3 meditative sessions per week. And they're like 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. Go in the Fleur Lab, like you said, the design, like it's just
so perfect for that. It's going to be so perfect. Cause like I noticed every month, I had my mom translate this for me cause I couldn't read it, but every month it tells you like some of the traditional like farmer's wisdom too. Like this is a good month for like either planting or building relationships or jobs, you know, there's like that traditional wisdom.
And it never has like a little section that teaches you the meditative practice. Like what can you do this month? Like how do you start a session? Like you cross your legs, you put your hands in your lap, and then you like close your eyes. So it actually spelled out like the tutorial for me.
Yes.
So,
and then other,
unfortunately, it's in Chinese.
Yeah, and like even like the back pages too of that notebook are so spiritual too, because it has like a decision tree in English, actually, about like, are you worried? Can I control it? Da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
And then fortune telling. I don't know. What
I think astrological right related. Yes. Yeah.
Items.
That's what really excited me about that.
So I got it in an A6 size because I don't want to kind of commit myself to a bigger journal. I just wanted to have like a very like, you know, easy to approach book. So just like starting a fresh habit, this is one I want to start building this year. And then lastly is the thinking of you. Like I said, I want to try to do it as a Chinese journal collaging space. Ephemera stickers, they all go in there. And finally, the most last tier is the basic needs, and that's like all the stationery stuff for me. So all the fun part is my basic needs.
Playtime.
I needed
everybody
it.
Everybody needs it.
So that's just my traveler's notebook. Like I don't journal in it on a daily basis. They basically are spillovers of like each week's. You know how sometimes you have a weekend where you like just take 1,000 photos and they can't all fit into your Hobonichi even though you're already at the cousin size? So those goes into my traveler's notebook. You know, so I would have like 2 to 3 spreads if it's a spectacular trip or like a special garden visit, and I just have like 10,000 flower photos I need to put somewhere.
Or photos of your traveler's notebook in the wild.
Yes, like inception photos of your traveler's notebook in the traveler's notebook, and then maybe another photo of that spread that I can put into that photo. So the playground, now we're talking about playgrounds, right? So yeah. I also got a London Gifties bullet journal notebook. It's an A5 size, 160 GSM, just dot grid. And, you know, I want to track fun things like happy mail, swatches. I want to be like Kelly. If I get a new ink, I want to like write it in there.
Yeah.
I might, for fountain pen inks, I might write it on Tomoe paper, loose leaf paper, and then stick it in there. Like this is going to be my catch-all fun book. So
nice.
pen test, washi swatches, sticker spreads, just a place to have fun. Like, you know, if that I can dedicate time to, like, this will probably be the one I bring to cafe journaling meetups in the future if we still have them.
Nice.
I miss those.
If we survive this thing, like if we go back out, like this will be the book I bring to have fun with. And nice. So that wraps up my Techo Kaiji.
Wow. You know, we really have a lot, like all three of us, it's like we have the basics. I think our basics, our dailies are quite manageable. It's usually like 2 or 3 books.
Yeah.
And so really when you hear these high numbers, it's more about the playing and the enjoyment of the other books. But
yes,
the basics, I think if somebody wanted to just start off and only have, you know, like even just one, they could really encapsulate a lot of the daily journaling.
Exactly. Because like you can add, like do 3-in-1, 5-in-1, like we're just breaking it up because we have a problem with buying notebooks.
Yeah. Well, you know, so just keeping up with the Harry Potter references, I feel like my journaling reminds me of the Burrow. It's like, you know, Ron Weasley's house. Like you start off with like the living room or the kitchen, like the necessary stuff for the house. And then you just start adding stuff because you need it or you want it. And then suddenly it's like this giant monstrous house that still like kind of stays up somehow.
And like I feel like my weekly planner is like Fred and George's room. just explosions.
I was gonna say your Archer and Olive might be because it's full of spells. And
right,
like
that's right.
Experiments.
Yes,
I love
that so much.
I know. So, you know, like I listened to you guys share your breakdown and like to each of them, I'm just like, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, we need a book for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like when we really break it down and spell out the things we track, write about, it really are all things that are important to us. And like, you know, for other people, their hobby is like cars or like video games or like gardening. And for us, our hobby is stationery. So, you know, it doesn't really sound like, I feel like it's very rational and like it's very justifiable too, like because this is the thing we love to do, like this is how we choose to spend our time. And you know, it's not that many notebooks. Once you know how you're actually going to use it and how you want to incorporate it into your life, it could be as little as you want or as much as you want.
Yeah, you know, I get the comment a lot about when people say like, oh, I just don't have time to do that. Or where do you find time to write in all these? I'm like, well, it's just what, like you said, it's what I love to do. So that's what I do.
Exactly. And the time that I don't use to watch movie, I use to journal, you know, like if people just choose to use their time differently and you don't have to stress about not having time, then like, just don't do it. Like seriously, if that's, this is not something you care about, then you don't have to. No one's forcing you to have to do it on a daily basis. Get a weekly planner and just have
and
as
if,
much.
If you do want to do it, then you can just start with one and see where the road takes you.
We reel in
and then catch.
Love it. Well, let's kind of wrap up this episode with, like, you know, we talk about the things we're very, like, you know, excited about for our journaling plan. What challenges do we expect ourselves to run into stationery wise in 2021? And let's kind of talk about those fears. We're not out to solve those. We're just saying it out loud.
For me, it's definitely going to be consistency. You know, I have a habit of maybe switching up my system a quarter of the way through the year, halfway through the year, wanting to try new things. I start to get like this little itch, like, oh, I want to try this new notebook. I want to try a new system. And I don't know if I can't decide, do I want to kick that habit and do I want to stay more consistent? We'll see. I think the big notebook that I'm worried about is my health planner, because I'm really worried that I'm not going to keep up with it. And it would be a shame, because it's like such a good, like the weeks is a perfect system for that. And I think it is really important for me to keep an eye on my health. So we'll see. We shall see.
We shall see. Well, I'll go next. I'm not worried about using my planners to the fullest. That's what a lot of people are worried about. Like, what if I don't use up all my pages? I'm like, I'm totally fine with blank pages. However, I'm really worried about not using my things to the fullest. Like, I have so much pens, I have so much stickers, so much washi tapes, so much stamps. Like, I could keep going on. And like, I love the rush of buying things. And like, I like it when they arrive. But like, do I really use them to the max? See, that's one thing I want to reconcile with myself. And my friend Terry in Boston, I want to call her out. And she says it's funny because we're totally fine with turning stuff like money into stuff we like. But ironically, we can't accept the state it's in, like on a sheet when it's like in the notebook. Like, it's also a place we like, but we can't accept that change as much as we do from like money to item, except item to planner. So I need to really have to figure out a way to either buy less, use more, or you know, buy more but also use way more than what I'm doing right now. I mean, I used a lot, but I feel like I have a potential to use more what I own.
Yeah, I definitely am agreeing with April, because I, you know, that's part of like stationary, I don't want to call it minimalism really, but just kind of using your stash. And like you said, that rush you get when you buy something and then it gets to you and you're like so hype about it. And then you're like, oh, well, now what? So yeah. I think it is, you know, I've been okay at not randomly buying things because they're cheap or on sale. Something that really does get me though is at my store, Oblation, when there's an orphan, a stationary orphan, sometimes, like, because, you know, when I'm like trying to make a certain area of the store look good, that's not really what I like to do anyway, as my coworkers definitely know. They're like, Kelly, why don't you ever merchandise stuff? I'm like, because I'm not good at it. But like, when I do that, and then there's this item that just I have to keep putting somewhere else because there's only one of it and it's so awkward. Sometimes I'll just buy it because
I want to give it a home.
And I want to see what, you know. So I'm going to try to like not go there so much in 2021 and just have like a purpose for the things that I do buy, rather than just like, oh, that's pretty, I want it, and like for no reason.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do my best.
I like it. It's all kind of about like having this healthy relationship with the things we have. Like, you know, yeah. For Phyllis, it's like not feeling bad about switching or like not get thrown off if your system changes. And for Kelly and I, it's more about like, you know, using stuff more. And I feel like you actually use way more than I do because you have so many notebooks and you're always like not hesitant to just go into the first page and immediately do a full spread of pen test. And that's like, that's what I want to get to. Like, I want to be able to be like, yeah. Not save it for a special occasion. You guys saw that comic where it's like, this book is not worthy of my thoughts. Toss it. Like, I don't want to be that bear. I want to be the person that I can dive into a beautiful, pristine notebook right away and like, you know,
yeah.
Not let my pen sit on my desk and dry up, which is like, oh, it's the worst. So I want to write more, create more, draw more. And you know, I love all the challenges we kind of like know we're facing, and you know, hopefully yeah. We can get through it together.
Yes, totally.
So on a happy note, let's all share one thing we're most excited for in 2021.
Well, 2021, I'm trying to be hopeful that we will, you know, the world will have figured out coronavirus and we can actually travel and stuff. For me, it's like, I definitely miss traveling, but more than that, I miss just being able to see people and be with people. I miss seeing you guys in person, you know, like, I know technically we're allowed to hang out in person, but just, you know, the job that I'm in and stuff, I feel like it's not safe for me to just be around my friends and like be in a cafe. And also my brother also works in healthcare and he's been across the country and I haven't seen him in person in over a year. So we just like
wow.
Talk on video chat and he hasn't really gotten to see the baby very much. So
aww.
Hopefully he'll be able to come visit in early 2021, at least for a little bit, and we can hang out. But just miss the people. That's what yeah. I miss.
Yeah.
I definitely feel that I generally just am really excited about the possibility of traveling next year, hopefully outside the US, because like, as some of you know, I was planning to take this road trip because I wanted to just get out, and then the fires happened and I just, I feel like everything I've tried to plan this year has just not happened at all. And I'm looking forward to the possibility that maybe we can start doing that again. And just, I really hate when people say back to normal. I feel like that's not happening. There's just going to be a new normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to just, you know, do what we can to make that happen.
Yeah, for sure. And like changing also, our habits or whatever, right? Like adapting to
yeah.
the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Totally. And of course I wanted to throw in there like special editions from like Lamy, Pelican, Sailor, all those
fountain pens. Give it to us.
Yeah. New inks, new pens. I just like seeing what people come up with.
It's crazy. It's how endless it could be, right? Like the technology of stationery is like ever evolving, and like maybe hopefully in the future, less waste, even less packaging.
Yeah.
Like those mm-hmm. would be really exciting things in the stationery community.
Oh, cool. I would love to see that. If they could do, I always think about sticker sheets, and now that PET tape is so popular, I'm always like, oh, that extra plastic sheet. I wish we just wouldn't have that plastic sheet.
The yeah. trade-off is that it gives joy and happiness and creativity. I guess that's yeah. a trade-off. Like every time I buy more stuff, I feel like, you know, the joy that I derive and the people I can affect by having this joy of making these stuff, like, you know, I hope it sets off the balance karma-wise.
Yes, totally.
Well, for me, finally, the thing I'm most excited for is, like, again, travel as well. I haven't seen my family in over a year. They couldn't come to my wedding. And so we wanted to really just, like, throw a little palooza in Taiwan or Japan. Yeah. But it really has to be when it's appropriate, when it could happen. And I'm really personally excited for the Taiwanese stationery markets that I wasn't able to physically take part of as it grows in the past 2 to 3 years. So in my next trip back to Taiwan, I have this list of places I absolutely have to check out because they either weren't there when I was still in Taiwan, or there's just new, more exciting things happening that we can like gush about overseas, but like, you know, they're kind of home. They're artists. I can probably say they're from Taiwan. So like, you know, I want to be part of that community too. And hopefully maybe that's something we'll do for this Asian Cafe. So
how cool would it be if we did a group co-host trip? And we did a live stream from, we did some vlogs of all of the stores we go to.
I would so do that with you guys. That would be so much fun. And of course, I want to see April's Taiwanese wedding as well. And that would just be really rad.
Awesome.
So to be able to do that, we need to all like stay sane, stay healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone have a really good Thanksgiving coming up here in the US, and you know, it's the end of the year. I think it's fine to take a break from like that productivity guilt, you know, like the whole COVID stress, you know, give yourself the time to play with stationery and just like, I feel like be more mindful about how lucky you are to have survived all this.
Yes,
give yourself a clap in the back.
We are very lucky to be where we are today.
Yes. And we're very lucky to have you guys tuning in to the Stationery Cafe. You guys have been our biggest support. And like, you know, if it wasn't for all our listeners, we wouldn't be doing the, well, we probably would be doing this, but not just in public. Exactly. So, you know, the best way to show support, you know, follow us on the Instagram or give us a review on Apple and Apple Podcast. And, you know, tell your friends, tell your family, or tell your other, like, not out of the closet stationery addicts yet, that this is a safe place to go.
Totally. We accept everybody.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. I hope you guys all have a good rest of your day, and we look forward to bring you another great episode next week. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.